Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our fourth quarter and full year 2015 results presentation conference call. From GB Auto, we have Dr. Rauf Gabor, the CEO, Mr. Mostafa El Mahdi, the CFO, and Mrs. Menatella Sadek, CIO, presenting fourth quarter and full year results for 2015. I will hand over to Dr. Gabor for his presentation, and then we will have a Q&A session. Dr. Gabor, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our full year 2015 earnings call. I'll be somewhat more brief than usual this afternoon. First, I believe you have all had ample time to read our earnings newsletter. Second, I believe that the events of last week have in many ways changed the outlook for our company in 2016. We faced three major issues heading into this year: the foreign exchange crisis in Egypt, the need for an automotive directive in Egypt, and the ongoing challenges we face in our regional markets, particularly Iraq. The Central Bank of Egypt took a critical step in the right direction last week with its decision to devalue the Egyptian pound. It is our belief that that step will eliminate the biggest challenge to our business in the short and medium term. This step was long overdue. All of you know that we suffered significantly in 2015 due to a shortage of foreign exchange. The effect of the shortage was particularly pronounced in the final months of the year. The lack of foreign exchange had a sharp impact on our ability to import CBU units from summertime onwards. The peak of the crisis came last fall, when it saw us stop assembly for a period of weeks in September and early October. The full impact of this stoppage is reflected in our fourth quarter results. Today, the CBE is actively working to close the gap between the official rate and the parallel market. It has also recently flooded the market with some $2.4 billion in liquidity to break the import logjam. The market is going to go through a period of adjustment. Bank liquidity is improving as a result of the devaluation. What's more, the CBE is backing state-owned banks in issuing certificates of deposit with high interest rate for investors converting U.S. dollars into Egyptian pounds. The interest rate on offer is attractive enough that global investment banks have made Egyptian debts and treasuries a theme going forward. In parallel, the central bank has promised that investors in treasuries and bonds will be guaranteed the ability to repatriate their funds. At the same time, the central bank raised interest rates 150 basis points this past Thursday in a bid to stem the inflationary impact of devaluation. This naturally raises the question of whether our market can absorb rising prices across all of our product categories, particularly passenger cars. I believe the answer is a resounding yes. We have continued to enjoy strong margins throughout this period. In fact, our gross margin in Egyptian passenger car sales rose 4.2 percentage points in the fourth quarter, while sales volume were down nearly 41% in that period. As we have seen in the wake of previous crises since 2011, lost sales accrue as pent-up demand. This demand will convert into sales provided we have sufficient foreign exchange available to bring in both cars and kits. The good news is, at the moment, we are nearly done building our inventory backlog, which should support us in the coming period. Having said that, I do caution that it could be some months before we see liquidity fully return to the foreign exchange market. With that in mind, we'll continue to use our pricing power in the market, not only to preserve margins for as long as possible, but also to have a buffer for any unforeseen developments. At the same time, we'll maintain a tight rein on SG&A spending and work to preserve working capital. It's a playbook from which we have executed before, both during the currency crisis of 1981 and the devaluation of 2003. In fact, it is our view that the devaluation through which we are currently passing is a replay of the 2003 methods the central bank employed. In the meantime, we continue to see relatively good allocations of foreign exchange for our commercial vehicles and construction equipment division. Stimulus spending backed by the Gulf Cooperation Council nations has slowed somewhat, but the ongoing development projects in the Suez Canal zone, in major urban centers, and at projects including the new administrative capital, give us hope that we will continue to see strong sales from this segment going forward. Motorcycles and three-wheelers has good inventory on hand and continues to post very strong figures. And the financing business remain among the star of our group, adding significantly to our margins and serving as sales drivers for other core lines of business. That brings us to the most considerable challenge facing our passenger car business, namely the need for the government of Egypt to move on what has come to be known as the Automotive Directive. This is a package of legislation that would protect the domestic assembly industry from what we see as unfair competition from Turkish, Moroccan, and European Union imports. It would offer assemblers incentives in return for going further down the value chain and increasing the share of local components in manufacturing. It is our view that the government of Egypt needs to send two clear, strong signals to business and investors alike. That it is responsive to economic realities and that it will give priority to the development of medium-weight, medium-technology industry that will create jobs and grow exports. The state's stance on the first point is clear from the central bank's decision to devalue, raise interest rates, and flood the market with foreign currency. It is time for action on the second point. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Tariq Kabil, has been supportive of our urging that domestic industry be afforded a level playing field on which to compete against imports. We look forward to the legislation being introduced in the House of Representatives in the coming months. It is difficult to overstate how important it is for the government to invest in industry. Equally clear is the impact pro-industry policies can have on national development. In fact, our key OEM partner, Hyundai, reminded me of that earlier this month when I led an Egyptian business delegation to Korea. After that trip, one of our U.S. investors reminded us that little more than a generation ago, Egypt had a domestic automotive industry while Korea had none. Today, Korea is an industrial powerhouse, with Hyundai alone exporting over 4.2 million cars each year. Korean brands are the market share leaders in Egypt, and yet we have no manufacturing industry to speak of. It is time for change. We are well positioned for when that change comes. We have made substantial investments in our assembly facilities over the years, including the building of the first fully robotic paint shop in the MENA region. We have agreements with the best domestic parts manufacturers. We have preferential logistics packages in place that have allowed us to be cost efficient. We have just introduced the Elantra as our second CKD brand from Hyundai. And with the foreign exchange situation now increasingly clear, we will be able to rapidly roll out three new Hyundai CBU models, including two very desirable compact SUVs. Additionally, we have entered into a partnership agreement with Abu Futuh Automotive to distribute CBU and CKD models of Chery brand passenger cars, with sales set to come on stream as of this month. What we need is an enabling policy framework, one that will allow us to do with passenger cars what we are already starting to do with GB Polo, serve growing domestic markets at the same time as we explore very promising regional export markets. It is, in fact, the same strategy we are now rolling out with our manufacturing facilities for tires as well as for motorcycles and three-wheelers. On the tire front, we are now approaching the final stages of negotiations with potential technology partners to set in place the best product portfolio and deliver a competitive cost structure for the project. We are similarly finalizing agreements to install paint and welding shops with considerable localized components and processes for our motorcycle and three-wheeler facility. Our final challenge is in Iraq, where the security and economic conditions, as well as the dumping by non-authorized parties of inventory into the market, has sent our sales down by nearly 50%. Iraq is now contributing losses to our bottom line. Unlike in Egypt, we have limited visibility on developments in Iraq, even as we expand our sales of three-wheelers there. In the meantime, we are adopting a hold-and-see stance and continue to evaluate news there as it develops. Ladies and gentlemen, last week serves as a reminder of how rapidly things can change in emerging markets. By taking a long-term view to growing our business in very promising markets, we have positioned our business to maintain profitability in very promising markets. We have positioned our business to maintain profitability in adverse conditions and to thrive in good times. I'm increasingly optimistic that 2016 will be the latter. With that, I will hand the call over to Mustafa Al-Mahdi, our CFO, for a quick look at our financial performance in the third quarter. Menatallah Sadek, our CIO, will then follow with some insights into our investments before we open the floor to your questions. Mustafa, please.
Thank you, Dr. Raoul. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. For the fourth quarter and full year 2015, GBO2 saw revenues decrease year-on-year by 23% for the quarter and 5.5% for the full year, respectively, mainly as a result of the challenging foreign currency environment in Egypt, especially towards the end of the year, as well as the turbulent Iraqi market throughout the full year 2015. In Egypt, however, the decrease in sales of the passenger cars division was compensated by the two- and three-wheeler division, the commercial vehicles and construction equipment division, as well as our financing business. Our gross profit margin, meanwhile, were quite strong in the fourth quarter and for the full year despite the slowing top-line performance. Gross profit margin came in at 15% in the fourth quarter 2015 versus 11.8% in fourth quarter 14. As a result of a price increases the group introduced in the last quarter, while full year profitability also improved as we closed the year at gross profit margin of 13%. Overall, the company's net profit increased by 54.4% year-on-year in full year 2015, reflecting one-time gain resulting from reassessing the fair market value of an investment property by our subsidiary GD4, as well as the lower taxes due to an overall lower tax rate of 22.5%. Meanwhile, the Egyptian pounds amounting to $622.5 million in funds from operations that were accumulated during the first 9 months of 2015, in addition to the outstanding cash balance of 2.2 billion Egyptian pounds at the end of third quarter 15, were allocated to build inventory towards the end of the fourth quarter of the year. This will work to boost performance in 2016, as we have now replenished most of our passenger car stocks as well as two- and three-wheelers and commercial vehicles. In difficult foreign currency environment, this and operational hedge that we wouldn't have achieved had we not had less access liquidity by end of 2015. The group's net debt stood at $3.6 billion an increase of 0.7 billion compared to third quarter 2015, and decreased by 100 million compared to the final figure at the end of 2014. This has reflected on the following. Net debt to equity reversed some gains achieved in the third quarter 2015, where it stood at 0.7 times as of 30th of September 2015 to close the year at 0.9 times at 31st of December 2015, which lower than 1.3 times at the end of December 2014. Net debt to the EBITDA closed at the year, standing at 3.5 times, which is similar to the last year. Total debt climbed to 5.2 billion Egyptian pound at the end of 2015 and includes 1.3 billion Egyptian pounds of financing business debt as we continue to expand and grow our operations. The figure also includes an foreign currency exposure amounting to 85.4 million US dollars, equivalent to 668.8 Egyptian pounds, GBO to working to settle its foreign currency debt promptly and has already succeeded to reduce the bank to 47.1 million US dollars end of Feb 2016. As we enter 2016, we replenished inventory, a solid pricing strategy, and rather healthy market demand despite natural inflation. We are in a better position to capture the benefits from the high growth market. I'd like to reemphasize here that, as Dr. Rauf noted, we are optimistic that the recent steps taken by the Central Bank of Egypt will begin to reflect positively, especially on our passenger car division, in the short and medium term. Meanwhile, we continue to operate a relatively lean company with capex for the full year standing at 290 million Egyptian pounds compared to a depreciation expenses of 255 million Egyptian pounds, leaving ample room for GBO to plan expansion in the tires business and two- and three-wheeler business. That concludes my presentation for today, ladies and gentlemen, and before we open the floor for any question, you may have been Allah Sadr, our CIO, would like to provide you with some insights into our investments. Minna.
Thank you, Mustafa, for the thorough presentation. I would like to just say a few words before we turn the call over to your questions, ladies and gentlemen. In a phrase, my message is this. It's time to get back to the basics. I've spoken with or met many of you recently. We've seen each other at investor conferences, we had calls, and we welcome many of you to our offices and our assembly facilities. Through it all, our conversations have focused on essentially one issue, foreign exchange. We've talked through both the general issue and we've discussed whether GBO2 would have sufficient access to FX to continue its core operations. I am very relieved today to think that the next time we meet, we will dig into the details of the GBO2 investment story, and it's a phenomenal story. One that centers on a rapidly growing consumer market that will not be stopped by devaluation. Our population of 90 million people is growing at 2% every year. This year alone, a million people will reach working age, the age at which automotive purchases become an active consideration, in a market that has a motorization rate of just 33 vehicles per 1,000 people. This simple fact alone makes us very bullish on future growth prospects for our core market in Egypt. We are ready to see the revenue growth pertaining to our current operation, but more significantly, we're positioning ourselves to capture an even larger share by going up the value chain. Doing so will let us capture not just more domestic demand, but to simultaneously penetrate new export markets. Both of the major projects now in our pipeline are plays on this theme. We expect to announce in the coming quarter or so our selection of a world-class technical partner for our tire manufacturing plant, and we are in the final stages of documentation in our agreement with Bajaj to take our motorcycles and three-wheelers manufacturing facility forward. And to come full circle, I note that both of these investments, by the simple virtue of being export plays, will add to our base of foreign currency revenues, helping lock in the future FX needs of our Egyptian operations and serving as a natural hedge against future devaluation of the Egyptian pound. With that, I would like to sincerely thank each and every one of you who have stood by us through the challenges of the past years. I look forward to speaking with you in the months ahead, not as a de facto spokeswoman for the Egyptian economy at large, but as the Chief Investment Officer for the most exciting and most diversified automotive player in the Middle East and North Africa. Thank you for your time today. Julia, operator, we'll open the call to questions, please.
Thank you, ma'am. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Mark Adib from Faris Holdings. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. I have a few questions. Given market conditions, how long do you expect current inventories to last?
How long do you expect what?
Current
inventories to last. No, we have a pipeline which is full. We have an inventory and we have a full filled pipeline. So we are geared up to meet with the market demand.
Okay, and can you please provide us with further guidance with regards to assembling Elantra in Egypt and its impact on the gross profit margin going forward?
As you know, with any new CKD project, our policy or our strategy is to start with a very, very attractive price, which may not give a good margin. We then create the demand, and with the demand, we gradually increase the price. So by now, I think that we are at 12% gross margin, which is a very attractive price. We have started delivering the cars this month. It's proving a very big success. You will probably see the margin improving from the current 12% to, I would say, 15% within third quarter.
Okay, and do you expect the gross profit margin to remain at the current level going forward?
Yeah, definitely I expect with the difficulty of making new projects and securing foreign currency, I expect the gross margins to be at least where they are today.
Okay, I have one more question. I see that while the financing business revenues have increased by approximately 44%, financing business debt has increased by 43% as well. And so by how much do you expect the financing business debt to increase for 2016 and 2017, and as well as for the net debt figure, given the new expansion plans you just told us about?
I will pass the microphone to Amal, who is the chairman of our finance businesses. Amal, please.
Yes. In order to be looking fairly at how the position of the debt of the financing business grows, it all depends on two factors. One, of course, the number of clients that we get and the type of deals that we get, the size of the deals, especially that we have a leasing company where the size of the deals can go per transaction up to 100 million, 200 million Egyptian pounds, and as small as the two and three wheelers and the microfinance where the ticket item is only around 10,000. So the debt that we raise is a function of the transactions we get. That's one thing. The other thing is, as a multiple, all the finance business regulated under EFSA, they are enjoying a leverage of up to 8 times. The total finance businesses currently have a leverage of around 2.7, which is very small, and we have big room to grow.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. So it's star 1 to ask a question. Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue.
Okay, that's great. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining our call today, and I hope to have another call very soon regarding the first quarter, which I am confident will show the beginning of normalization of the company performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.